In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, granted by the same Spirit may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lady Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Father Lanteri.
Pray for us.
Saint Faustina.
Pray for us.
All God's angels and saints.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out, throw it away. It is better for you to have to lose one of your members than to have your whole body thrown into Gehenna. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off, throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body go into Gehenna. The Gospel of the Lord. Good evening. Over the past few weeks, we've been going through the vows, the Catechism of the Vows, which St. Faustina gives us in the Diary of St. Faustina, and that we can find in the Diary number 93. So what I'm going to try to do today is I'm going to give you a summary of means for us to preserve the virtue of chastity. Because that's not simply for the priests or the nuns, it's for all of us. Really, all of us have to live this out. And it's not an easy virtue to live, most specifically because of the environment that we live in. Thomas Aquinas said 800 years ago, it's not that hard to live the virtue. This was 1225, no? Because you didn't have so many temptations. You didn't have TV, you didn't have the radio, you didn't have the internet. People basically dressed properly. Families, we had less dysfunctional families. So Thomas Aquinas really said that the concupiscence isn't that strong so that we cannot live that virtue. But today we have so many things against us that we really have to have a spiritual strategy to be able to live this out. First and foremost, we must have God's grace. But then we have to do our part. So it's God's grace which has to be obviously the most important. And we have to place all the means at our disposition to be able to live this out. So she gives, basically she gives 12 ideas that I'm going to try to develop. And this is just in the number 93. So what I've done is I've kind of boiled it down to the 12 points. I'd like to try if I can move at a pretty good clip to try to get through these points. Okay? Really because Our Lady Fatima said most people lose their soul because of this virtue. And maybe a lot of us adults here don't struggle with it, but you've got children. And some of you have grandchildren. And also, it's kind of a tricky virtue where you feel that you're really living this out. I once read a good explanation. Lake Galilee could be very calm. Then all of a sudden, out of the blue, a storm kicks up. And that can be us. We can seem to have our emotional affective life in order. There's kind of a harmonious blend between our intellectual life, our affective life, our physical life. Things seem to be well synchronized. And all of a sudden, everything seems to go berserk. Hello? That's true. Even people that are, you know, maybe older than 40. Any people here older than 40? Or older than 50? Or older than 55? Older than 60. And sometimes God can even allow that temptation to happen to keep us humble. One of the most extraordinary cases would be the saint that we celebrated 2 days ago, Saint Anthony of the Desert, had a temptation against chastity that lasted a whole year. And God appeared to him, and he was fighting the temptation for a whole year. So God appeared, Jesus appeared to him, and he said, "Where were you?" He said, "I was in the very depths of your heart." He never gave in to it. It's like they say, in the eye of the tornado, there's calm. Is that true? So the very eye of the tornado, there's calm. So you can have a storm at the top of the ocean, but below there's calmness. In other words, St. Alphonsus, the one to live, I think he was almost 91 when he died. The very end of his life, he was 90, he had terrible temptations against chastity. When he was 90 years old, he had arthritis, he was blind, he was bent over, he was crippled, he had almost every sickness you can imagine. And God allowed this storm of temptations against chastity to batter against his bark, so to speak. Why? I've thought about that. Why would, here's a man who never committed a mortal sin. I read that he never committed any deliberate venial sin, so he almost returned to the preternatural state before Adam and Eve. He lived such a holy life because he prayed, he was always praying. I'll tell you why. Can I? Because God had given him so many graces that God could test him with the most powerful temptations, and God knew that he'd be able to overcome that temptation. Because of his holiness of life. None of us have the holiness of St. Alphonsus. Maybe you don't. I certainly don't. And also so that he would have a higher place in heaven. Higher place in heaven. Because every time you resist a temptation, what happens? You grow in virtue. You grow in merit. You grow in holiness. Do you ever do the liturgy hours the first Sunday of Lent? The first Sunday of Lent is the temptations of Christ. Well, St. Augustine gives one of the most beautiful meditations of the importance of overcoming temptations by imitation of Christ. He says, the soldier is never proved to be a valiant soldier if he doesn't go into war. If you never go into war, okay, you're never going to lose the war because you never went into it, no? But you go into the war and you use the tools or the armor and you win the war, you're a more valiant soldier. So we learn from the saints. This is called spiritual combat. Spiritual combat. We're all soldier for Christ. We have to fight until the very end. So here's our here's our spiritual warfare plan in this specific area. Before I'd like to just precede this by a general idea. Humility, forgiveness, and chastity are supernatural virtues that we cannot practice without God's grace. You hear that? Being humble, forgiving people that hurt us, living chastity, the three virtues that we cannot practice without grace. These are called supernatural virtues. Not natural. Supernatural means it transcends nature. Goes beyond our natural condition. So that has to be taken into account. Okay. Number one. Are you listening?
Yes.
Good. Make sure that you're not zoning out, okay? First she says to guard the senses. Know what that means? Guard your eyes, your ears. Okay? Especially your eyes and your ears. Those have to be watched over with great vigilance. So when you're doing a daily exam at night, you might go through the day to see, what have you allowed to enter into your eyes? What have you allowed to enter into your ears? And be honest. Have you watched anything on TV that was maybe jeopardizing your chastity? You've got to be honest. I don't know about you people, but basically 15 years ago, I gave up TV. Go home to be with my mom and dad, not just my mom. I'll maybe watch a little bit of EW10. Maybe National Geographic. I like animals. I kind of like animals in nature. And now and then, I'll watch a little bit of a Yankee game. Excuse me. Because in New Hampshire, it's always when I'm there, it's the Yankees against the Red Sox. I mean, there's no more classical sports engagement that exists between the Yankees and the Red Sox, no? Of course, I'm sitting on the couch the whole time, no? But I think we have to kind of examine our conscience and what we're looking at on TV. And also, what do we look at on the Internet? So we all know how to use the Internet. Custody of the eyes. How many people here go to daily mass? What's right around the corner, first reading? You know what it is. We're reading Samuel, right?
Yeah.
I know. I find reading Samuel is fascinating. I find I'm getting new insights I've never had, even though, and I've heard this, if I'm a priest 31 years, that means at least 16 years, because it's every other year you're going to be hearing this, no? You know what's right around the corner. Hello? David and Bathsheba, right? It's right around the corner. Probably going to be Tuesday or Wednesday next week. David's going to ascend to become the king. And then he's going to be kicking back, not going to go out to the battlefield, take a long siesta on a king-sized bed. There he is. Take his walk on the terrace, and you're going to be looking at that beautiful woman that's bathing on her roof. Look at the eyes, right? Then he commits adultery, and he ends up by killing an innocent soldier who was one of his best, most noble soldier, who, by the way, he was a pagan, a Hittite. Then you see that reflected in his sons. Amnon, Absalom, and Solomon. What are the capital sins of them? Violence and lust. Solomon was the wisest man in the world. He ended up the biggest fool because he gave into his own kryptonite. And that was the sin of his father David. He committed adultery with Bathsheba. So we have to watch over our eyes and ears. How about do we maybe listen to things that are off color? Do you have any friends or people at the workplace that tell off color jokes? And once John Bosco maybe told this story, he was a priest for about 30 years. And he regretted the fact that when he was a kid, an older man told a dirty joke and he couldn't get it out of his mind after 50 years. After 50, because he had a photographic memory. So what he was listening to was engraved in his memory bank. So custody of the eyes. That's number one. Number two. Avoid the occasions of sin. Avoid persons, places, things, circumstances that can lead to a fall. Do not play with fire. You're not going to get wet. Play with fire. You're going to get burnt. So all of us have to be honest to see, is there any person, place, thing, circumstance that could jeopardize the virtue that we're talking about? I think there is, and we have to be honest with ourselves. All of us are different. Could be this. You're in desolation, especially more for men than women, but I hear that women are picking up on this also, the problem with pornography. There have been studies where with women it's starting to ascend, sad to say, this used to be more of a male sin, but it's women are picking up steam. Desolation. How about this? Desolation and being alone, maybe in your room or your apartment or your condo. That could actually be the near occasion of sin. So it's happened in the past, you've been in desolation, you've been alone, you've been depressed. Instead of being alone where the devil is going to tempt you to fall, come to make a holy hour. Go out and play tennis. Go and have a cup of coffee with one of your friends and talk about the topic that Father spoke about in perseverance. Talk about the fruits of your meditation in your holy hour. In other words, get out of yourself. Flee danger. He who plays with danger will perish in danger. He who walks on a slippery slope will fall. Who walks on ice will fall through the ice. And, okay, this is maybe not your circumstance, but how many parents here? Okay, your daughter is 25 and she's got her fiancé. Going to get married maybe in 6 months. Should they be alone together? Say, for example, your daughter's fiancé says, well, Saturday night, let's live it up. Let's go to Pollo Loco and then, you know, Pollo Loco, right? And afterward, your daughter's fiance says, well, let's go to my condo and we can pray the rosary together. Then the chaplet. Father Broom has always talked to us about the contemplation to attain love. Maybe we can put that in practice, okay? You're playing with fire. Say, the only reason I would love that to happen if you go to your condo and you, in between you is sitting your abuelita, your grandmother. Yeah, the abuelita there with the rosary, okay? That's okay. You're safe, okay? Young people, though, you're alone together, forget it. That's a sin of presumption already. You're presuming that you're really stronger than you are. So many of our sins happen because we do not make a concerted effort to avoid our kryptonite, our near occasion. Amen? Number three, you ready?
Yes.
This is one of my favorites, and it's, I'll explain this by means of another number in the diary we're going to be reading later on. By the way, we're in number 93. We have another 1,760 numbers ago. It's 1,830, so we'll arrive by the year 2060. But no hurry. If you've read the diary already, I'm sure you remember this. It's one of the most dynamic numbers, where there's a lot of action, physical action. St. Faustina sees the devil. And he's running back and forth frenetically. And St. Faustina is inspired by the Holy Spirit to stop the devil in his tracks. And ask him this question. What is the most dangerous sin in the monastery or the religious convent? Don't all speak at the same time. Laziness. The devil said that, laziness. And he is running back and forth, up and down the corridors in the whole convent and said, in this convent, I cannot find one lazy nun in that convent. So he's running back and forth trying to find a nun that was lazy. He couldn't. So that's a very important point. When we or our children or teenagers are lazy, we're opening up the door to danger. Idleness is the workshop of the devil. That's true. In about 12 days, we're going to celebrate one of my favorite saints. And he's yours too, Dan. John Bosco. January 31st, at the very end of the month. After Francis de Sales, a week later. You know, he had a great fear for his boys, for the vacation months. Why? Because during the year, he had them busy in the oratory, studying, playing, working, going to church, saying their prayers. Then the vacation months, they were all by themselves. So any of you know anything about that very special group of individuals they call teenagers? You hear, ever hear those?
Yeah.
Some of you have teenagers?
Yeah.
Maria? You should keep them really busy. Children too, but teenagers, keep them really busy. That's why you've heard me say this before, and I'll repeat it. This country is different than the Philippines and Mexico and Peru and other countries, in the sense that there are so many sports activities here. I think all parents that have teenagers should have them involved in some type of sport. When I was in high school, it was from 8 to 3:10. Then 3:30, I was playing baseball until, played a game until 7 o'clock. I had to walk home 2 miles, get back at 7:30, 7:45. I was so hungry I could almost devour the table. I was so hungry. Then do my homework and then hit the hay. Before I know it, I was already graduating, going off to college. I didn't have enough time to get into trouble. Then some at work. You know, I meet teenage kids or kids that are 20, they never worked. By the time I was 20, I think I had 10 different jobs. Oh yeah. From the most menial to being a professional teacher. Work is good for you. St. Bonaventure says, when you're working, one devil is going after you. The devil still goes after the person that works. You don't work, you have a whole army of devils that are going after you. So parents, grandparents, I hear this, okay, it's already the middle of May. What are your kids going to be doing during the summer? Oh, nothing. Just let them sleep in and they can just kind of relax. Oh, boy. You're crazy. You are crazy, lady. Already in April, you have to be thinking what they're going to be doing this summer. That's why over the past couple of summers, what have I done the third week of June in St. Peter Chanel? I did a whole month of spiritual exercises and consecration for the young people. We got about 200 of them showing up. Good timing? Hello?
Yes.
Good idea?
Yes.
So that means for that month, your kids had a talk, and they had their daily meditation every day for a whole month. So that filled in a block of their time. Free time. The devil is going to get in there. That's why avoid idleness. It's the workshop of the devil. You don't have anything to do, the devil is going to give you a lot to do. A lot. Especially if you got teenage boys. Are you kidding? Get ready for it, no? Okay, next point. St. Faustina says, remove temptations promptly. He who plays in danger will perish in danger. Temptation must be rejected and quickly. If it returns, reject it again. Do you know what an obsession is? It's a psychological word, but also it's a spiritual word. Temptation can sometimes be a thought that flashes through your mind, and it can be something instantaneous. When I was once with my superior in Italy, we were driving, we had a house in Monte Migliore, and we were driving and he said, there was this saint, a Franciscan saint, his name was Saint Charles Sesse. And he said he had a very interesting temptation, very powerful, almost irresistible, but resistible. He wanted to strangle his superior when he was driving and I was next to my superior. Saying, Lord, please save me from that. Temptations have to be rejected promptly. And sometimes what happens, the temptation comes and we kind of, that's kind of interesting. Huh. I wonder if I had the opportunity to do that, what would it be like? So what do? We kind of hit the replay to kind of, instead of hitting delete, we hit replay. And you're really cruising for a bruising, as we say. No? You're looking for trouble. So as soon as you're aware of it, manfully reject it. Comes back, reject it again. You're obsessed. What does Ignatius say? Rule 13? Forgot rule 13. You're going to cast me into desolation. I've been teaching you for 10 years. Father Tim Gallagher says you should memorize those rules. If not verbatim, at least memorize the concepts. 13 means open up to your spiritual director. Open up. Don't keep it to yourself. The devil turns the molehill into the mountain. Something small gets bigger and bigger and bigger. It's like your doctor would say, once you get the infection, you'll bring it to the doctor right away before it becomes seriously infected, right? And it's embarrassing. Throw it out there. Expose it to the light. And you conquer the devil. Number five, she says, remove yourself from all particular friendships. The danger of an unlawful emotional affective bond. And she didn't say this, but I'll throw it out to lay people. The danger of flirting. Hey, you're a married person. Going to work? Free time? One of your colleagues asks to have a cup of coffee with you. Okay. And he says, next day, have another cup of coffee. Yeah. Yeah, let's go out and have something to eat. Yeah. Oh, you're local, yeah. Or maybe Taco Bell, huh? Before you know it, there is an emotional bond that is being established. You are a married woman. He's a married man. It's wrong. I'm going to tell you what could save you. You listening? Okay, she had the cup of coffee the first time. The second time. And then, second time you do your daily examine. And when you arrive at that point, that 20-minute coffee break, you try to look at that with great objectivity, with great honesty, great sincerity, great transparency. In other words, you're looking at that, and next you got Jesus and Mary are present with you, Saint Joseph too. That's at St. Joseph. We don't want to leave him out, do we? And you notice that there was a certain movement of the heart where you started to kind of like this guy. And you saw during those 20 minutes, a couple of times, he looked at you. You know that type of look we're talking about? Then he gave you a romantic smile. And then, you know what you heard? Here's the voice. You know, you were trained before you went to work that you're supposed to be a friendly person with a big smile on your face, and you have to have a certain social charisma. That's part of being a successful person in this company. Who said that? Dan? You see, right away you hear that. If you're not careful, you're not able to zarandear, this in Spanish, to sift the wheat from the chaff. You think, yeah, that's a good thought. Oh, that came from the Holy Spirit, I'm sure. And the following day, the emotional bond is becoming stronger. But then the Holy Spirit hones in, and you hear this in the depths of your heart. Careful, 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 careful. Back off, back off, back off. Last cup of coffee. So, no. If it's done well, if you're trained to do the daily examine well, the daily examine can save many people from falling into adultery. We all know how we struggle with our daily examine. Because the daily examine, what is it? It shows the inner movements of your heart, your affective life. So the daily examine, if it's done well, can save us from a lot of pitfalls. Then all of you, we're working on getting more spiritual companions, spiritual directors. If you bring this to your spiritual director or your confessor, what is he going to say? Come to me. Because adultery is not something, it's not simply physical. It can be emotional. You have an emotional bond with a married person, you're married, that's wrong. So St. Faustina is talking about this in the context of the religious convent and religious life, not to have what are called particular friendships. That's what she's saying. And all of us are religious. We learn this when we're novices. So I'm trying to apply these rules to you lay people. Can you understand that? And you have to be honest. You really have to be honest with yourself and honest with God, and you have to have some type of spiritual direction. Otherwise, we can lie to ourselves. The ability to rationalize, to intellectualize, to lie to ourselves is incredible, especially when we're dealing with the affective movements of the heart. In that area, we can all lie to ourselves, especially when we're in the state of desolation. We can. So that's a good point. Number six. Okay, she speaks about the spirit of mortification. Anyone know what mortification means? Some of you never heard that word before. Well, it is a Greek word in the modern spiritual realm, but it's a word that many people knew 50 years ago. Mortification means to deny yourself. There's no mystical life without the ascetical life. Okay? That's a good one-liner, okay? Ascetical life means a life of discipline. Actually, asceticism comes from Greek asceses, which means exercise. Okay? So, if we want to obtain virtue, especially this specific virtue, we all have to learn the importance of some type of fasting. Fasting or penance. For example, today is Friday. All of us are obliged on Friday to do some type of penance. And if this is just renounced kind of nonchalantly, we could be falling into mortal sin. Okay? Now, what type of penance? Classically, it's been, you know, giving up meat on Fridays. No? For a lot of people, that's no big deal. No big deal. It might be a mortification. Instead of doing your holy hour, you do an hour and a half. Hello? You don't feel like it. You kind of want to bolt after the 59 minutes and 59 seconds you want to take for the hills, huh? If it's not an hour and a half, okay, at least give an hour and 15 minutes. That could be a penance. But Jesus says this very clearly. Unless you do penance, you will perish. You ever hear that? Jesus said it. Unless you do penance, you will perish. So penance is not simply an ecclesiastical law that can be abrogated in time. You can't eat meat. But it's a divine imperative. Jesus said, unless you do penance, you will perish. So by learning how to deny ourselves, we're fortifying our will to be able to fight the good fight, to run the good race, and to win the merited crown that God has prepared for all of us. No Good Friday, no Easter Sunday. Foot and shame. So in imitation of the saints, get in the habit of practicing self-denial. Not only on Friday, you know, in less than 4 weeks we enter into Lent, right? It'll be February the 14th. So sorry, good old San Valentino was bumped this year, okay? It's a good idea to get in the habit of saying no to ourselves on a daily basis. And that does, that fortifies our will. If you find this difficult, read the life of any saint. Read the life of the Curie of Ars. Or Padre Pio. Or Saint John Bosco. And you read them and you're embarrassed. Or little Jacinta, Saint Jacinta Marto. What a heroic person she was. She's only the age of your little kids. They died at 10 years old. They couldn't even read and write. But they had a pretty good teacher, the Blessed Mother and the Holy Spirit, right? Good enough, huh? So a spirit of mortification. Jesus says, if you want to be my follower, you must renounce yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. And sometimes in little ways, I think we all like to eat, right? We all have our favorite food. How about something like this? Not to put condiments on your meal. Do you like condiments? We all have our favorite condiment. Not going to put that on. Okay? Easier said than done, huh? Think about your favorite condiment. Okay. Tomorrow I won't use that. You didn't want to hear that, did you? And that fortifies the will. And that can be offered for the conversion of sinners, salvation of souls. We have to have these supernatural motivations. It's not masochism. It's love. Because self-denial is another name for love. Loving God, loving our neighbor, and loving ourselves properly. I've always had difficulty with that cliche, I can't really love myself. What the heck does that mean? I've always struggled with that. No? I can't forgive myself. Well, what does that mean? You should love yourself the way God loves you. That would be my response. You know how God loves you? By shedding every drop of his blood for you on Calvary. That's my response. That's true love, right? Move on. Number 7. Reveal these temptations to one's confessor. That was already mentioned. Then St. Faustina, after that, gives 5 virtues that we should practice. She says, humility. Got to be humble. Saint Therese says that all the sins, the most horrendous, abominable sins that the worst person could commit, she said, I could also commit it. If it were not for the grace of God. And she says this in her The Story of the Soul. The reason why I did not fall is because God cleared the path for me. Imagine you have to run from one point to another. You got tons of debris and trash and obstacles. You're probably going to trip and you're going to break your neck. But if the path is clear, you're going to make it. That's a darn good prayer I think we should ask for. Lord, I'm so weak. Lord, you clear the path. And take me by the hand. Mary, take me by the hand. Jesus, take me by the hand. And Saint Joseph, walk in front of us. So a lot of us, instead of taking the hand of Jesus, Mary, we go like this. We hold on to our own hand. Is that going to get us very far? Right into hell. So we got to be humble. Maybe heard the saying, pride comes before the fall. You presume on your own strength. You're going to fall. So humility is a very important virtue. Next she says the spirit of prayer. Why did the apostles fall when they were in the Garden of Gethsemane? What'd they do? They fell asleep, right? So one of the principal reasons why we fall into any sin is either because we don't pray or we pray poorly. Either we don't pray or our prayer is mediocre. There's no fervor. So constantly we have to be begging the Holy Spirit to give us fervor, fire, passion in our prayer. Next she says, modesty of the eyes. Once again, we're going back to the number one, to guard our senses. Modesty of the eyes. The eyes are the mirror of the soul. What goes into your eyes goes to your mind. From your mind, it goes down into your emotions. It goes into your heart. And that's translated into an action. Actions that are repeated become habits. Habit forms our personality. What does that mean? Who we are. And that ends up with our destiny. Eyes, mind, emotions, heart, action, repetition, habit, personality, destiny. There's a whole sequence. Like that? That's the dynamic. So it's up to us to keep repeating good actions, and that is called a virtue. A virtue is a good habit, whereas a vice is a bad habit. Two other points. St. Faustina says to be faithful to your rule. Now we as religious, we have our constitution, we have our rule. Do you have a rule? I gave it to you in the exercises. Different name. We gave it to you in the seventh week. Your plan of life. Remember that? So the religious rule for the priest would be a plan of life for the lay people. And you want to try to put that into practice. Remember that? Or did you turn that into an airplane? Or did you use it for your bird cage? Your bird cage. No. I gave you one, which would be the chronological and the professional. Chronological would be what do you do every year, month, week, day, hour, minute, and second. I give it from the universal to the particular, as they say in philosophy, right? Universal, the most extensive. What are you going to do every year? Your 8-day retreat, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Down to the most smallest action. So that, as St. Paul says, quoting the poet, we have some poets and they don't even know it here, right? In him we live and move and have our being. Amen? In him we live and move and have our being. I love that. St. Paul quoting the poet in the Areopagite. So last but not least, by means of a story from the diary, we're going to be reading this a little bit later. Saint Faustina was praying for this virtue. Jesus appeared to her, dressed in white. And Jesus had a gold sash around his waist. And he draws close to Faustina, and he takes his gold sash and he wraps it around her. That moment she was given what is called the gift of perfect chastity. No movements of the flesh, no longer any bad thoughts. It was a gift of perfect chastity from that moment on. Then she said, it was Jesus that appeared to her, said that she was begging the Blessed Virgin Mary for this grace for a long, long time. She's finally given this grace of perfect chastity. So I hope this lecture or conference this night will be useful to you. I have made photocopies of the talk because I think that this is very important. And maybe Mary and Eric can pass it out afterward. Use this for yourselves. Use this for your grandchildren. Use this for your spiritual life. And I think if we really live this out, we'll be able to live out that beautiful beatitude where Jesus says, blessed are the pure of heart, for they will see God. Amen?
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners now and at the hour of our death. Let's pray that beautiful prayer, the Blessed Mother. Some of you know it. If not, you can learn it. The Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary. Never was it known. Anyone who fled your protection, implored your help, sought your intercession, was left unaided. Inspired with this confidence, I fly unto you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you they come. For I kneel, sinful and sorrow. O Mother, Lord, we come. As for your prayers, tomorrow morning I'm going to a church in Covina called St. Luis Marillac, in which they've asked me to give a talk to a men's group. So if you could send me a prayer for that talk, I really I appreciate your prayers. It's really important to try to work also in building up men's groups, as I'm trying to do here in Spanish, okay? So God bless you and see you.
Thank you, Father.